Spencer on Sports Thanksgiving Eve edition here on 1600 ESPN, and we got to get ready for another busy weekend of football, the last regular season weekend of college football, but there's lots to get to. It's rivalry week, lots of great games, including Iowa, Nebraska, and let's welcome in our friend Big Ten Ted here on a Wednesday edition of the show, a day earlier than normal, but want to make sure we get his thoughts to you, to you on the airwaves here on 1600 ESPN. Ted, happy Thanksgiving. How's it going?
No, happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Yeah, we've made it to the end of the year. It's pretty crazy how quickly that it's gone. But we're sitting in a good spot. Big Ten looking like three college football playoff teams. But you know, we could there's a few games we might talk about here where it's maybe that number could be in jeopardy. We get some crazy rivalry weekend upsets. It's college football after all, so it'll be interesting, and we know it's, throw the records out the window, the classic line, so it should be a fun weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get to this weekend, of course, we like to look back at what happened last week in the Big Ten. The big game of the week was, of course, Oregon-USC. Never really felt in doubt the Ducks took care of business, winning 42-27, so I think really solidifying their spot in the CFP, regardless of what might happen against Washington this week, but we'll see. Of course, the Hawkeyes had that comeback win to beat Michigan State. Also saw, Northwestern get bowl eligible with the win. And then a team that I'm sure we're going to talk about here in just a moment, Michigan, they stayed alive for a possible CFP berth. Of course, a lot hinges on this week against Ohio State. They did what they had to do and took care of business against a bad Maryland team. Overall, Ted, what were your thoughts from last week?
Yeah, I guess we'll kind of start with that game out on the West Coast. I thought Oregon. Yeah, like you said, the game never seemed to be in doubt, even though it was kind of going back and forth. But really, ever since that Malik Benson 85-yard punt return, that was really something that swung. And special teams was big. I mean, USC had a leaping penalty and a field goal that allowed Oregon to kind of get a touchdown. We talked about the punt return. I mean, so many things. That was a real issue for the Trojans in this game. But this was a big performance, I think, for Oregon going forward. And they're sitting right there. They're number six in the latest college football playoff rankings. They're sitting in a really good spot. You know, it's the long layoff, of course, really hurt them last year. And now they're sitting in maybe that sixth seed. We'll see if they get up to a five. But they're sitting in that very enviable spot now with the straight seeding in the tournament this season. So, you know, they did, I think, what a lot of people expected them to do, and just kind of took care of business as well in that one. Iowa, man, it was a little bit hairy there for a while for the Hawkeyes, but they kind of did Kirk Ferentz things and found kind of other ways to find to kind of get them back into it. Michigan State, they've had games this year where, you know, they've looked like, okay, maybe this is one where they can finally get off the schneid and get a conference win, but it somehow evades them each and every single week. And I thought the finish of that Minnesota Northwestern game was really fun. I mean, those were both two offenses that were just moving the ball up and down and up and down the field. But the Wildcats go over 500 yards total. It was probably the best game that we've seen out of Preston Stone throwing the ball. Caleb Komalafe has really come on as a running back there. I mean, bowl eligible. I mean, yeah, this is a Northwestern team. It's like David Braun is basically the second coming of Pat Fitzgerald on the field right now. It's just that they find a way to just, they're an annoying team to play. They're Northwestern. And, you know, props to them for getting to bowl eligibility. Wisconsin getting an upset win. That was the most complete performance that we've seen out of a Luke Fickell team. Definitely this year, we're not setting a high bar here, but definitely this year, maybe of the entire tenure that he's there, they look like they're starting to turn the corner a little bit. Maybe we're going to be talking about their rivalry game here in just a minute as well. And Penn State is a team that's like, I know they're starting to rally around Terry Smith out there. And that's, they've really, I think, now gotten their feet under them a little bit. They're going to look to get to a bowl game. They got a game against Rutgers coming up, but they dominated Nebraska. I mean, those are kind of teams that are going in opposite directions ever since their quarterback injury. So, certainly a fun weekend last weekend.
Well, let's start with a big game this Friday, Black Friday tradition. It's Iowa, it's Nebraska in Lincoln. I'm not sure what the weather looks like. There's been talks of snow all across the Midwest. I think we're in the Snowmageddon belt here now in Iowa for Friday night into Saturday. So that's going to be great for travel for everybody out there listening. But this is one of those rivalries. I've said it on the show this week, even though it's been a short week, and you agree, Ted, when you see this, no matter what each team's record is, whether Iowa's 8-3, Nebraska's 3-8, there have been a ton of close games. In fact, the last 2 years, the same final score, 13-10. And Iowa always seems to have kind of the game-winning field goal in this type of game. But it being in Lincoln, certainly the Huskers probably feeling maybe a touch more confidence because it's on their own, on their home field. Hawkeyes, though, favored going into Friday's game. What's it come down to you for Iowa-Nebraska this Friday?
Oh, it's just like, you know, there's multiple examples that Nebraska has struggled against the run. I mean, you go back to last week, Katron Allen going for 160 in two scores. I mean, Grunkemeyer only threw the ball, Ethan Grunkemeyer only threw the ball 12 times. They just ran it and ran it and ran it again. Nebraska, I mean, you go back to a Friday night game against Minnesota, they ran it pretty effectively, you know, in that game where that the Huskers lost earlier this season. You look at the game against USC. USC ran the football pretty effectively. I mean, there's so many examples of that. And you look at Iowa and you know, kind of what they like to do in up front. I mean, a great run-blocking offensive line for the Hawkeyes. So if Iowa can just chip away and chip away and chip away at the run game, I mean, that it seems to me that that's a matchup that certainly favors the Iowa Hawkeyes in this game. You look to the other side, you know, Nebraska's got a pretty good running back themselves in Emmett Johnson. I look at the passing games, you know, of course, with the backup with TJ Lateef right now. And, you know, you look at Gronowski and what Iowa's throwing the ball. I don't see, you know, a ton of production through the air. I don't think that's really a controversial take any year that you have Iowa and Nebraska. But I think it comes down to who's going to run the ball better, who's going to stop the run, and like who's going to make enough plays. I trust the special teams. Like you look at last week and the plays that Iowa made when maybe things were a little bit slow starting off against Michigan State. So, yeah, I think I trust the Hawkeyes a little bit more up front. They've been more consistently good out there as well. Of course, what they can do with Gronowski. So, yeah, I tend to favor Iowa in the direction I think that they're going right now.
The question is, and we saw Michigan State do it and then go away from it, but then start doing it again. Will someone kick to Caden Wiegen? Will Nebraska kick to Caden Wiegen? Because they started kicking to him. He had the long punt return touchdown. Then they switched last week. Michigan State did to Alessio Milivojevic, doing some quick kicks and keeping it out of his hands. And then they started kicking to Caden Wiegen again. And that's kind of the big X factor. You bring it up week after week. But when you have a return man as electric as Wiegen is that can flip a game like that, he set up the game-tying touchdown in that game against Michigan State. Yeah, the run game, absolutely. But I'm curious to see, right, can Drew Stevens be in position to maybe make a game-winning kick, or can Caden Wiegen set up the Hawkeyes? That's always a key when he is on the field. Right, Ted?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a big factor. I think when you have a game like this where I said, okay, you know, maybe both teams are going to lean into the run game and maybe we're obviously not going to see an explosion of points on the scoreboard. Sometimes it comes down to the other things. And when we talk about the other things, it's maybe creating extra possessions with the turnover on defense and then with the return game as well. I mean, if you're Nebraska, you can't kick to him. I mean, that's just kind of the way I see it. He's been explosive in the return game all year long. I mean, it's just, you know, you can close your eyes and you can picture it now. You know, with, you talked about the weather as well out there. Is, you know, it's maybe a 13-10 game. Hawkeyes are losing, they kick it to him, and he can at the very least get him into field goal range or maybe take it back to the house themselves. So that's kind of the Iowa. That's maybe the way Iowa wants to play this game. Is like, hey, let's just, you know, if it's not our best offensive game, let's just kind of hang around, wait to make the play at the end of the game, whether that's on defense, whether it's on special teams, and it feels confident that they're going to be able to do that. I remember, a couple of years ago, that was kind of the same thing, I think, in Lincoln. So, you know, Nebraska makes a late mistake, if I remember correctly, and then Iowa takes advantage. And that's kind of the game with a backup quarterback, with a young quarterback. I think that Kirk Ferentz and Phil Parker want to find themselves in.
Yeah, a couple years ago it was Chubba Purdy, Brock Purdy's brother, who got thrown into duty for the Huskers through the pick, and it looked like the game was over. You know, it looked like Iowa lost the game, and then Chubba Purdy throws the pick, and then the backup kicker for Iowa makes the kick. Go figure in that one. Let's move on to probably the biggest game in the Big Ten and maybe one of the biggest games in the country this weekend. It's Ohio State. It's Michigan. It's in Ann Arbor, of course, regardless of how good Ohio State has looked this year, and they've looked fantastic all season long. They cannot figure out how to beat the Michigan Wolverines. They've lost four in a row. Yep. The Buckeyes are favored by 9.5 going to Ann Arbor. Michigan needs this one. If they can score a win, they get some help. They still, I believe, are in play for a Big Ten title game berth. A win probably puts them in good position for maybe an at-large berth to the playoffs. So it might not seem like it to the average person, but there's actually quite a bit riding on this game, right, Ted?
There is. I mean, if Michigan finds a way to win, man, I can't even imagine what the reaction would be from the Buckeye fan base. Even remember what we heard last year, and then me. I mean, if it happens this year, but that's a totally different story. But you know, if they find a way to win, you got to. I think they're right, and they're at 15th in the latest college football playoff rankings. Considering the ACC champion will be out of the top 12 in the G5, of course, you got to get it in the top 10. You know, and beating number one Ohio State is a good enough to vault them 8 spots. They're a 10-2 team at that point in time. Yeah, it's probably, and you look at the Michigan's losses. Oklahoma, they're a playoff team. They also lost to USC, and they're kind of they're a ranked team, but they're kind of on the border right now. So that's going to be interesting to see how all of that plays out. But you know, I remember last year, Ohio State for some reason was going to be very invested in the run game. They just wanted to run right at that great defensive tackle tandem in the middle. I mean, you look at Ohio State, of course, the injuries, you know, Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith. Jeremiah Smith said this week he should be good to go. I know that's a big factor. Michigan has a lot of injuries themselves. I mean, we haven't seen Justice Haynes, Jordan Marshall. You know, we didn't see either of those guys last week. Bryson Kuzdal, 20 carries, 100 yards, and 3 touchdowns against Maryland. So one big storyline for me is the injuries. Who are we going to see? Who are we not going to see? Of course, with Michigan, you don't have the firepower to go back and forth with Ohio State. That's not the game, of course, you want to get in. You know, of course, they're better offensively, you know, of course, than last season. You just want to get into, you want to get into a physical game. You want to get into a ball control game. You want to get into a game where it's like, give me a one possession game going into the fourth quarter. If you're down 7, I think it was like 10 points going into the fourth quarter, that would be tough for Michigan at that point. But, you know, being at home, you get a one. That's all Sharon Moore in all of their game planning this week. How do we get to the fourth quarter? And it's a one possession game, because then all of a sudden you get to the fourth quarter, and now, you know, Ohio State, a much more talented team than Michigan, a lot like last year. And there's a big gap again this year, but you get in that now all of a sudden the mental part starts to kick in. And Ohio State, you know, it's like, oh man, we haven't beaten these guys in a long time. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, you start to tighten up a little bit. You start to, you know, when you get into that close game, and maybe that's where Michigan with the home crowd can take advantage. It's hard to like look at this game, and I've watched a lot of national people kind of break this game down, and they feel the same way, where it's just like, yeah, Ohio State, better roster, you know, talent on the perimeter, quarterback better, defense has just been dominant. I mean, it's hard to imagine Michigan moving the ball much of at all against this Ohio State defense, but that's what we thought about last year's game as well. And a lot of people are saying, hey, let me pick Michigan until proven otherwise. I think this is going to be one of the stiffer challenges for Ohio State. It's going to tell us a lot, I think, going into the hypothetically the Big Ten championship game there against Indiana next week, to see exactly where they are. Because I think that's been a big complaint about the Buckeyes. It's like, you know, they haven't played much of anybody. They steamrolled everybody. I think there's been a lot of coasting for Ohio State. I don't think they've put as much points on the board as they really could have, because I think Ryan Day has the long game in mind. But I think for Ohio State, it's all just about coming out and playing loose. They were so tight through the entire game last season, and it really hurt them. And they just played the Michigan style of game. They need to get out. They need to be explosive. They need to get up and down the field and get to a point where you're scoring a lot. So Michigan can't come back. You know, we saw against like USC this year, once they started to get explosive, once they started to make plays down the field, that's when things got out of hand. And Michigan just, they can't play that type of game right now with their personnel. So, you know, in theory, Ohio State's a better team, but you know, we'll see. I'm really excited to see this one.
Let's go to a rivalry that I know you and I have a lot invested in, Wisconsin and Minnesota. It is in the Twin Cities this year, playing for Paul Bunyan's Axe. Look, hey, a month ago I would have said the Gophers win this one by 20-plus, but now they're a 1.5-point favorite. I'm just not sure with how both these teams have been playing. Wisconsin hasn't been playing good football, but they've been playing better football, especially on defense. And you mentioned the complete game that they had against Illinois last week, back-to-back ranked wins at home. Of course, lost to Indiana, who's one of the best teams in the conference, let alone the country. The Gophers have been kind of stumbling down the stretch here. But, you know, they'll be up to keep the axe, especially because they don't have the pig up in the Twin Cities. If I had to make a pick on this one, I'm leaning towards Wisconsin, I guess, but I'm still not quite sure what side I'm on with this. But what do you think about Wisconsin and Minnesota, Ted?
Yeah, this is you kind of hit it right on the head where it's like, yeah, if you talk about this one 2 or 3 weeks ago, you know, you're talking about a different ball game. You know, Wisconsin has won 2 out of the last 3. They beat 2 teams that were ranked at the time they played them. Whereas Minnesota, they've lost 3 of their last 4 down the stretch. Iowa, of course, Oregon. Wisconsin was a lot more competitive in Eugene than Minnesota was. And then Northwestern this game as well. And I look at Minnesota, a lot of teams have been able to line up and they've been able to run the football on the Gophers this season. There's been a lot of examples of success. And if I'm looking at Wisconsin, I had the best performance from Darian Dupree last week, you know, and they've had so many injuries, but it looks like, you know, Dupree is the horse that they're going to ride at this point in time. If they get the run game going with Darian, that's going to set up a lot of easier things for Carter Smith. Carter Smith, the true freshman quarterback, he's gotten a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better each and every single week. Like, this game's very interesting for me because I think the Washington game for Luke Fickell was like, okay, you know, that was a little bit of a confidence boost they needed when everything was as bad as it's been in Madison in a very long time. And then I think this game of this win against Illinois was like, okay, that's confirmation based on what we saw, you know, against Oregon and Indiana and those, you know, where they played good, but all in losses to really good teams. Now it's like, can they keep that standard up? Can they keep on improving like they've been able to do against a Minnesota team on the road? That defense though, Wisconsin's defense is, man, they are getting after it. I mean, Darryl Peterson with 3 sacks last week. Their pass rush is as good as anybody. Minnesota's offensive line is graded out similarly in the same ballpark as Illinois. So I've got confidence in Darryl Peterson, Mason Reiger coming off the edge, Mason Posa, guys like that to get pressure on Drake Lindsay. The thing about Drake, he's not a very mobile quarterback. I think he's a better passer than Carter Smith in this game. But if they can hit him and hit him often, I think Wisconsin's got the advantage. So as long as they kind of just keep on churning out drives offensively, and if they get better than they did against Illinois, I think the Badgers can go in and win. And wow, what a difference that would be. If they can finish 5-7, which is the same record that they finished last year with, considering that everybody had 2-10 on their calendar for the rest of the way, that's huge momentum going into next season for Luke Fickell. And, you know, the tune in the Wisconsin fan base has certainly shifted maybe over the last couple of weeks. So this is a big game because you don't want to build all that momentum and all of a sudden, oh, you lose the axe again. Minnesota has won 3 out of the last 4 axe games. That would be kind of just like, you know, you'd kind of go back and it would be really deflating for this Wisconsin fan base and the Badger program as a whole. So let's see if they find a way to win. I think Wisconsin's playing better football right now. It's just, I look at Minnesota offensively, it's kind of hard to look at Minnesota and that they can put up 20 points on this Wisconsin defense because the Badgers allowed 10 points to Illinois, 10 points to Washington, and I think the Huskies and the Illini are maybe even considerably better than what Minnesota is on offense. So this is going to be a fun game to kind of see, you know, who can kind of who can prevail when all is said and done, but I think I like Wisconsin.
Rest of the slate, Ted, it's rivalry week, but we get such rivalries, I'm using air quotes, you can't see it. Penn State, Rutgers, Maryland, Michigan State. Of course, Northwestern Illinois is a rivalry. Indiana, Purdue, probably going to be pretty one-sided. One that caught my eye, and I'm sure yours as well, Oregon at Washington. Ducks only favored by 6.5 as they go to Seattle. That and what else stands out to you in the Big Ten this week?
Yeah, that Ducks-Huskies game, it's never easy to go up to Seattle. The last time the Ducks went up there and missed a field goal as the clock expired, and that was the 2023 season with Bo Nix and everybody out there in a fantastic mid-October matchup. But, you know, this is Jed Fish has been putting all of his eggs into this basket. I mean, this is something I think they've been preparing for a very long time, especially since they got that third loss. They're there to ruin Oregon's season. I mean, that's what this is all about right now. And Oregon's got to be ready. Be ready to go. You know, this is a Washington team. They can get explosive. Hey, Damon Williams, Denzel Boston and company can create some plays. Damon Williams likes to freelance outside the pocket. Oregon's got to use the same game plan that Michigan had, that Ohio State had, that Wisconsin had. You keep Damon Williams in the pocket, force him to throw, and maybe that'll be good. I think Oregon's playing some of their best football right now. They seem to be the team that's kind of getting healthier and getting hot at the right time. We'll see if they can keep it going. That Illinois-Northwestern game is really intriguing to me. Remember the beginning of the year? Illinois, maybe a playoff team. Of course, they're at where they're at right now. Let's just put it that way. Northwestern playing with a lot of momentum. I think this one could be fairly competitive out there as well. You talked about Indiana and Purdue. I expect the Hoosiers to kind of finish strong out there as well. So it's going to be a fun rivalry weekend to kind of wrap up this Big Ten schedule. And then we get into a conference championship, then we get into playoff time, and it's kind of then at that point you shift to a new gear. You kind of shift in how you're playing and you know what of course we're going to be talking about here coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. Ted, have a great holiday. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, sounds good.